November 22nd, 1963. If you say that date to most people, at least of my generation or older, we will say, yes, that's the day I remember so clearly, that's the day John Kennedy was assassinated. It's etched in our memory, that particular date. But that particular day was also very memorable to me in a very personal way for another reason. When the nuns in our parochial school came in and told us that he had been assassinated, then they wanted us to watch the coverage of it on TV, and they had a TV in their apartment. We had never been in their apartment. And the nuns, if you grew up Catholic, you know that the nuns were very mysterious, and you really just wondered what they did, and did they have hair under that thing? And, you know, all these real odd, some of them very trivial questions and some very big questions. But I remember that day very clearly because here we were in the presence of coverage of one of the most memorable events of our time. And I was looking around to see, what does the nun's apartment look like? And it had some regular stuff in it. I remember that day because it was a day that broke down a boundary for me, a way of seeing those people as unreachable models of behavior. I looked around that regular apartment and thought, they're real people just like me. I never thought about it that way. The nuns continually in our parochial school, in our instruction, in our church, they continually told us to be good, but their advice didn't have much credibility because we thought they weren't regular people. And we didn't think they knew what it was like to live like a regular person. Now, if we perceive someone else as not like us, we're taken off the hook. We can excuse our inability to compare to that person in our accomplishments or our standards or our character because we can say, well, I can never be like that. That's not a regular person. God's people once could make such excuses. Sure, we know what God asks of us, but it's not something a regular, real human being can do. In the Old Testament ways of thinking, no real human being could even have contact with God. The regular Israelites were not allowed even to approach the foot of the holy mountain. They weren't allowed to see or interact with God. God was a being removed from real human life, an unreachable standard. Like my view of the nuns, people could say that they could never be what God asked them to be because they hadn't seen it done by a real person. Today is the first Sunday of Advent. It's New Year's Day in the church year. And in our reading from Isaiah, we have that Old Testament understanding of God underlined. Isaiah says, "You have hidden your face from us." And yet, as Christians living on this side of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the message of Advent is to wait and watch for the coming of Christ, God in human flesh. And so this entire season of Advent, what we're really celebrating is the incarnation, the coming of God in regular human flesh. Why do we celebrate the incarnation so much? The incarnation is our way in to the holy because we are no longer separated from the divine by an unbridged chasm. In the gospel today, we hear the people of that time wanting to know, when will all this happen? When will God come among us again? Isaiah's people and the people today often look at the world as it is and ask, when will God stop this pain and intervene to bring us peace? That coming of Christ is already happening. The gospel story says, from the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as these things take place, you know that he is near. We see the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, self-control. We see those fruits of the Spirit in conditions where the human response should be selfishness and anger and hurt. The Old Testament perspective in Isaiah says, "You have hidden your face from us." But now we have the New Testament perspective. Since the coming of Christ, we can see God in Jesus and in any person who chooses to love, who chooses to be gentle and faithful and generous and kind. We both celebrate and lament that knowledge because it takes away our refrain that a human being cannot do what God asks us to do. But this incarnation that we are celebrating this season gives us all a way to see God and for others to see God. Someone in our lives who claims not to believe in God may see a loving human being and begin to reconsider. They may start to ask, what force could animate human flesh to be loving where human experience calls for indifference or hate or resentment? So the incarnation, the coming of Jesus, is our way in to that life with God, to that place where we, yes, we can learn to be loving and not judgmental. Jesus shows us the perfect love of one human being for another, and then we are called to love that same way. And as we celebrate with the lighting of one candle today, our small light begins to pierce the darkness. But how do we do it? How do we make that shift away from human ways to that place where we love as God loves us? What can influence human life to fight against the conditioning and the expectation of typical human response? Against the idea that all love should be conditional and not unconditional as God asks of us? The answer is in our collect today and in many of the prayers we pray. The collect says that we pray that we may rise to the life immortal through him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord is how we live out the Christian life. We pray it all the time, but we never stop to think of it. As I was growing up, it took me a long time to realize that those words are generally the last words of a prayer. So I would know, okay, it's time to say amen. Because I didn't know how everybody else knew this until I realized that most prayers end with, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That's how we live out this life. So how do I know specifically what God wants of me? I see what Jesus did when someone needed healing, when someone needed help, when someone chooses to hurt us, how we react to that hurt. I see Jesus, and I know that I'm called to love ceaselessly, without compromise, without excuse, without thought of vengeance. I know how to do these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. When Jesus comes to earth, the boundary between heaven and earth disappears, and a flesh and blood human being shows us how to love. Heaven opens and God's glory becomes manifest in a real human being, in Jesus and in us. In Advent, we anticipate the coming of Christ. But why celebrate? What does the coming of Christ mean to me personally? What happens when Jesus comes fully to me or to any one human life? As the collect says, we rise to the life immortal because we begin to seek to know others deeply and love them anyway. The little fig tree begins to show signs of growth, of fruit, of productivity, of hope. And it all begins to happen because I choose to love as God loves me. The green season that we have just gone through is often called ordinary time. But paradoxically, with the human determination to love, ordinary time does not end. Ordinary time becomes transformed into the time of Christ's coming. That transformation takes place with each decision to love, when we choose to help others instead of hurting or neglecting or resenting. We enter that inner room and see God, and we bear the presence of God by being vigilant and watching for the opportunities to love one another. We watch, as one source said, lest we neglect the renewal of life in communion with God, lest the great opportunities for service to God's kingdom come and pass by unseen and unseized. So we watch. The season of Advent jolts the church out of ordinary time with the frightening yet comforting news that it's time to think about fresh possibilities for seeing God and for being the face of God to others. We watch for those opportunities, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. We pay attention, looking for our chances to help, to forgive, to love others. For when we offer those gifts, we enter the inner room where God lives. And there, to both our delight and our chagrin, we find a real person. Now that the barrier is down, we are urged to stay awake, to watch, to see Jesus again in human flesh. How can we see God? How can we carry God to others? We answer that question in our prayers every day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.